Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Two Guys, One Ball. Exciting week and month in general of football. How are you doing, Rob?
I am fantastic. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing awesome, man. I picked the right 2 days to be off of work this week, so been enjoying watching that and some of the Masters, some of the other stuff. Kind of want to just start off, we don't really talk too much about transfers and stuff, but wanted to get your thoughts on some of these transfers that we've been hearing about. We've been hearing about Eden Hazard to Real Madrid. Alexis Sanchez has been really vocal about leaving Arsenal. I'm just wondering what you thought about the possibility of some of these actually happening. I know it's with football in particular. It's kind of silly to sometimes to get into some of these because they literally put everybody's name up. But I don't know.
I think the Hazard to Real rumor has some real weight to it. Real Madrid is kind of seen as the, as much as, you know, I know you don't like hearing this, or, you know, I probably don't like saying it, but Real Madrid is kind of seen as the mecca of football. If you're a great player, you want to be tested at Real Madrid for some reason. I don't know. I don't see the appeal. I mean, I get it, but I understand it, but I don't, if you can follow my meaning on that. But Hazard, I think that is his only logical next step is Real Madrid. I really do. I don't see where else he could go. I mean, he can't go anywhere else in England. He can't, go to Italy. Maybe Bayern Munich would be the other place. But I do think with Ronaldo being at his age, that Hazard is, he is going to be the guy that's going to go there and replace him. I don't know if it's going to be this summer, but I do believe by, 2018, he will be playing, summer 2018, that is, he will be playing for Real Madrid.
So he'll be coming in to replace Ronaldo or one of the big three? Because I was just kind of looking at it. I'm like, Real Madrid fans, will tend to agree that playing Bale or Ronaldo as strikers just does not, work well for them. So I was just kind of curious, the way that Zidane, at least, if he's going to remain the manager, he doesn't really have a place for a playmaker behind the strikers and the forwards
right.
in general.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, would have to come in for, probably Ronaldo, but I don't see, I guess that's why I haven't given it as much of a, chance this summer. I do think he is going to move eventually, but do you think it would have to be a swap? Because I just don't see him or Bale, getting sent to the bench, I guess, is my whole thing with that.
There's talk of, Benzema being shipped on to Italy, specifically Milan. I do think of the front three, I think Benzema is going to be the one to make way. I think he's going to be the first one, and then eventually Hazard's going to, fit into that left side of midfield. Ronaldo could play the forward role. Hazard can do it as well. In fact, Bell can play that role if need be. So if anyone's going to figure out how to make it work, it will be Zidane. In terms of like a playmaking role behind the front three, he already has that kind of player in James, and I mean, we've seen already that he is not very favorable to that role because James is absolutely a fantastic player. He's just not favorable to that role because he does see the need for three midfielders having to track back, having to defend. So I don't see Hazard, fitting in behind there. So definitely he's going to have to replace one of the front three. And if I had to make the decision, if he were to make the move this summer, it would definitely be, to replace Benzema. Because, you can't replace Ronaldo or Bale. I mean, it's just not something that can be done.
Exactly. And,
You brought up Sanchez to Chelsea, or just Sanchez, moving on from Arsenal. And we had been talking prior to the show about Sanchez going to Chelsea. That right there, I don't see it happening just because I cannot see, kind of like Liverpool when they wouldn't sell Suarez to Arsenal. I cannot see Arsenal, especially to a club so close to them, you know, in London. I just can't see it happening. But can you imagine the shockwaves that would go reverberate around English Premier League football if Chelsea were able to pick up Sanchez from Arsenal? It would just be insane.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in football, more than most sports, the player ultimately kind of decides what he's going to do, but he can't force a move to a particular club.
Right.
And I don't see, I mean, especially now that Arsenal, you know, they've always kind of comfortably, if not at least towards the end of the season, have found a way to pick up that fourth place trophy. I don't see them giving up their main guy so easily. I do think he's leaving, but I think, you know, some of these rumors of him going to Italy are a little bit more favorable, or even somewhere like United or something, which he hasn't really been linked to. But yeah, if I had to go yay or nay on that one, I don't see him going to Chelsea. That's just bad for business.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you do that to yourself?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you'd be killing yourself and cutting your nose off the side of your face. Not to mention, they would need to find someone in, you know, to bring in to replace them. And what kind of player is going to want to come in if you're going to be selling your best player to a crosstown rival? I mean, it doesn't give off the best of confidence for that team. So I definitely something that I just can't see happening. You know, Inter has that, you know, mega money owner or new owners or consortium group or whatever. Do you see Sanchez wanting to move to Inter? Do you see that as because I haven't really looked at the league table recently, but I do not believe that they're in a Champions League place. So that right there would, you know, kind of be a big of a turnoff, wouldn't it, for Alexis?
Yeah, right now I do. Inter is out of that. I think they're in the fifth spot.
To their
credit, the last spot. And I don't know when that rule goes into play, but a new rule that was just passed, I think it goes into 2018, it starts that Italy will have firm spots in the Champions League every year.
Right.
But that last spot right now for the Italian League, it's only a point difference between those. There's like three, I believe there's three teams right now vying for that last
table
spot.
Right now.
So, yeah, so I mean.
Yeah, I'm looking at the table right now. Go ahead.
If they can finish in a Champions League spot this year, I mean, without, you know, granted, I could see that happening, but for him, the way that he's kind of progressed through his career, even though Inter Milan is a big club, I think he wants a bigger club than where he's at now. And I would, you know, Arsenal might not be as successful in Europe and in titles as Inter Milan is, you know, both internationally and domestically, but I would say they're relatively, you know, it's a lateral move. It's not him going somewhere bigger. So I don't see that one happening. I could see him going to maybe one of the Manchester clubs, or I know PSG is going after him hard right now. I mean, I think that would be
a
step in the right direction for him. And it's something different. I wouldn't say PSG
Absolutely.
Is a bigger club than Arsenal, but they're more successful, at least recently, with trophies and stuff. So if I had to pick one, I would say that he's probably going to PSG. I don't see him really going to Italy.
Yeah, I like that. That's actually probably a sensible landing spot for him. I could definitely see that working out for him, especially, you know, they seem to be missing a guy on the right side. They can move Draxler over from the left side to the right. You know, he's comfortable at either side. Let Sanchez stay on the left, and, you know, Sanchez feeding Cavani all the time. You know, that sounds rather dangerous, you know, moving forward for PSG.
Yeah. And then just kind of wrapping these rumors up real quick, the Neymar to United one I think is kind of funny. I just don't see that happening, especially with United struggling to get
out of the
results
Champions League.
Probably, let's say win the Europa Cup, I don't see them being in the Champions League. Something that was confirmed, and a credit to him, Mbappe, you know, turning down a big move to Real Madrid. You know, he's smart. He's a smart kid. He knows that his time and his minutes are probably going to be, you know, limited. He might become one of those players at Real Madrid that just kind of rots on the bench. So happy for him that he turned down that move, although I'm sure his agent is not too happy about that. I know Coutinho has been rumored to Barcelona, but Rakitic, the whole Coutinho for Rakitic that was gaining.
Yeah, that's never
going to
happen.
Rakitic just, you know, he was, it's, the rumor is that he signed his extension. I mean, it's not a rumor. It happened when it happened, but he signed his extension solely based on him and Luis Enrique not, you know, coexisting, since Luis Enrique announced he was leaving and then Rakitic signing the extension a few days later. And then the biggest one probably...
No way.
Go ahead.
I just want to say there's no way that Liverpool would bring in Rakitic. They just couldn't afford him. They don't know how well he would fit in, you know, in Klopp's scheme. They just couldn't afford it. I mean, it's too big of a money risk for Liverpool because they kind of operate on a more Moneyball-type budget. I mean, it's a big budget, but it's still very it's different because Barca's is a step above. So, yeah, Liverpool just couldn't afford that swap. I could see Barca purchasing Coutinho, though. I definitely could see that happening.
Yeah, and I know that at the last few World Cup qualifiers, you can kind of see Neymar kind of just joking around with him and stuff. So, I mean, that's, if you're a Liverpool fan, that's not something you want to see. I want to look at the Champions League preview. You know, this is to me, this is probably the toughest draw in a few years. I mean, there's no bad teams.
The
teams are super dangerous.
If you're looking at the games right now, you have one clear favorite and then seven, you know, really close teams. So you have Leicester, the clear favorite, and then you have seven teams that are really close behind. So I do agree. It's going to be tough, but yeah.
And you know, it's just, and some of these teams are like Monaco. I think Monaco is probably one of the most dangerous teams. They don't stack up as well, I guess, on paper to some of these other teams. But they, I mean, if you've been watching how they've been playing, players like Bernardo Silva
and
Neymar, and they're not playing with any pressure. They're playing just, you know, for fun. And a lot of times when you play a team like that with nothing to lose, I mean, they don't care. They don't play back. They don't play into your game of, you know, that you have to break them down. They're going to attack you, and you know, some of these teams don't do well with pressure. So,
absolutely.
I mean, I agree with Vegas on that first one. I think Monaco is going to edge out Dortmund. I like Vegas putting that line on them. So, I don't know.
I think Dortmund's going to go through. I just think that they're deeper. But the one thing that I think that you point out, you know, with Monaco, is that, you know, they're not playing out of their skin right now, and they're still winning and advancing. You know, that's scary. You know, if you're a team facing them, because that means they're not you know, hitting their peak selves right now. Because if you watch the Manchester City tie, there are plenty of mistakes that they made, yet they still found ways to come through and get through that tie. I mean, that's a pedigree of a winner right there. The things that I like about Monaco is that they're very physical. Very physical, and they play with speed. So it's going to be an interesting matchup. The reason why I think Dortmund's going to go through is because Dortmund can match that physicality and Dortmund can match that speed. And I think just Dortmund is more experienced in the places they need to be experienced. That's the only reason why I think Dortmund's going to go through. But obviously I would not be shocked one bit if, you know, Monaco went through, or even Monaco, you know, won by 3-4 goals, you know, aggregate, just because, you know, anything can happen at that point. So, but I do think Dortmund is going to go through. I just think they have the experience where they need it, and they can match the physicality and the speed of and the pressure, that is, of Monaco. So that's why I am leaning towards Dortmund on that.
Yeah, and I mean, to kind of add to your analysis, the Monaco hasn't really faced a really tough defense yet. You know, they've
right.
You know, I was one that, you know, kind of broken record with the last matchup they had against City. I think City has horrible defending, and I mean, they got exposed, especially you know, those crucial away goals. Yes, City won, but You know, they haven't really faced a team that can stifle them. So I was kind of hoping they played Atletico or Juventus, because that would have been, I think, even cooler to watch, just to see the two extremes.
Yeah, mix of styles, absolutely.
But, yeah, we'll see. I mean, apparently Marco Reus might be back in time for the second leg. So, I mean, his first match when he came back, usually players take a while, you know, to reintegrate themselves. But Marco Reus, you know, before he re-injured himself, his first game back, he scored a hat-trick. So, I mean, if he's good to go, he's good to go, and he will make an impact. And then looking at some of the other ones, probably the biggest one is Bayern Munich and Real Madrid. Both teams coming in pretty good form, although Bayern Munich just lost to Hoffenheim for the first time ever in Bundesliga history, which is it was a pretty weird game to watch. But I mean, they pretty much have the title wrapped up and are focusing more on Champions League. So I mean, that, I don't think that's something too alarming. I'm just kind of interested to see how both teams are gonna. Not their lineups. I think the lineups will be pretty much set. Just kind of how they approach it. You know, Bayern Munich, Carlo Ancelotti's been able to reintegrate Thomas Müller into the team, and he's probably playing. He's probably one of their three best players, along with Thiago and Robert Lewandowski, in my opinion. The first game is in Germany. Do you expect Real Madrid to kind of play more counterattacking, more back than they usually do, or how do you see each team kind of facing up, or what do you think they should do in order to get a good result in the first leg?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think Zidane, you know, and he's already shown this before, that he's going to be cautious enough, I should say, to not be exposed. Whether that results in a win or a draw for them, you know, remains to be seen. But Real's the first leg, you know, with it being in Munich, there's no way he's going to come out and try to, he's not going to put Hamas in the lineup, you know, as a attacking midfielder. He's going to do his three as long as they're healthy of Modric, Kroos, and Casemiro. He's going to make sure that they're tight defensively, and then try to let his stars or his front three, you know, do their thing.
Yeah. I got to say, he's definitely going to be cautious. I think that, you know, there's not going to be any deviation from the normal lineup. And I think Casemiro and Modric will probably be their most important players. Interested to see, you know, Bale with his speed, what they're going to do, what Bayern Munich's going to do, because I do believe, Philipp Lahm's a little up there in the age. So, but I mean, he's one of the best players that Bayern Munich's ever had. So he'll definitely have a positive result. But I think, I think Bayern Munich's gonna go for it. It's gonna be really, really intense game, really back and forth. A lot of really quick players on both sides. I mean, Bayern Munich's left side with Alaba and Douglas Costa. Although I believe Douglas Costa is still injured. But you know, they're so fast on the wing. So I don't know. I think Bayern Munich will. I think they'll have a really good result. I think it's going to be 3-1, maybe 3-0.
Oh, okay.
And the way that that Real Madrid. I mean, it's something you have to do. The rotations that you have to do when, especially this month. This month is always the most important month of the year for the big clubs that are competing in all. That are still alive in all competitions. But I think there's, you know, if you watch the Leganés game against Real Madrid, you know, he made about 9 changes or 8 changes, excuse me. And a lot of times in this season, they've dropped points coming off of those rotations where there's just disruption. So I think that's going to affect them a lot. And I mean, they're going to be coming off the Atletico. They're going to be coming off the Madrid Derby this weekend. So I think that will affect them especially playing against Atletico Madrid. It's always better to play them after than before a big match. Cause they just, you know, they drain you and, they, barring Champions League finals, they give Real Madrid a really hard time. So, I see a really positive result for for Bayern Munich in the first leg, and I think that Bayern Munich's gonna edge past Real Madrid.
Okay, I respect that. I mean, I think Madrid's going to take Bayern. I mean, I've told you this before, and you think I'm crazy, but I think Bayern Munich is a little bit overrated. I think teams respect them way too much. And not to mention, if you watch that second leg of that Arsenal-Bayern Munich game, there was a penalty in the area that they absolutely did not call, but they called one against Arsenal. I mean, it's just it goes to change games. And if you don't call the penalties when they're penalties, I mean, it changes everything. So.
Oh, yeah, that game. Yeah, no, I agree with you. That game, if Koscielny, because Koscielny was their best player, probably for a month in general, but especially in those Champions League games, he was their best player. I mean, I think I saw some stat where when he was on the pitch, it was only, I think, one or two goals. But then when he was off, it was like 10 of them. So, I mean, I agree with that. That Bayern is probably seems a little bit scarier than what they actually are. I'm playing more to the Real Madrid is a lot more overrated, I think. And that's not because I'm a Barcelona fan. I watch the games on the weekend. That's what I see. I see them struggle against teams that, you know, if they're dominating as they are, they shouldn't. So that's why
I understand that. I agree with you. I think Madrid is just like Bayern. I think they're respected way too much, and you know, their last they won the Champions League on an offsides goal. So I mean, Atletico was the better team that day, and they still, you know, ended up losing. So it's just one of those things. So we'll see what happens. Yeah. One of the overrated teams is going to go through, and then they're going to have to face Leicester City. So
speaking of Leicester, you know. So I mean, what is? I know who you think is going to win, but I mean, I don't even know. As long it seems like it's going to be so defensive, but I'm just interested because I have no idea how that game's going to even flow. Is it just going to be just dead balls? I mean, is there going to be a lot of fouls? I mean, I don't see both teams thrive on the other team having possession. In my opinion, that's when they're at their best. So I mean, Atletico is a lot more offensive this year, which people. I don't know why they haven't come to realize it. And if you watch their games, it's not like before. They go for it a lot. So, I mean, it seems like it's going to be Atletico with possession and Leicester on the counterattack, which plays to Leicester really well. So, I mean, I don't know where the first leg is, but I think whichever team, you know, scores an away goal is going to win because it's going to be insanely, like, you know, ticky-tacky, like a lot of fouls and a lot of just – complaining and dead balls. It's really annoying watching your team play against Atletico. So I don't know. What do you think is going to happen in that match?
Okay. Well, all right. So I just looked it up. The first leg is going to be in Madrid. So Atletico is going to have the advantage there. Definitely in the first leg. You know, and we had talked about this in a previous show about the change in the way Atleti plays. The fact that they're more attacking, they are going to come out and they're going to go try to, stomp on Leicester's throat right off the bat. That's the way Diego Simeone played. That's how he coaches. He's going to go for it. He's not afraid. I think that while it does play in Leicester's hands, in terms of they like to sit back and soak up pressure, I don't think they've faced a team that is as physical and as, penetrating as Atletico Madrid, so I have a real big concern about that. The only takeaway that I have that's great for Leicester, and I got to be honest with you, I do see them getting through because I think they're going to get some magical saves in the first leg because I think they're going to need them. But Leicester right now is in like their best form of the season. They are finding it at the perfect time. And they just have, this aura about them that, once they play their, type of football, that they don't lose. They get through. It's weird. It's insane. But they're finding ways to do it. And, if they can find a way to beat Atletico Madrid, they don't even have to win the Champions League. But if they find a way to beat Atletico Madrid, it will legitimize Leicester City moving forward. They will be able to keep players. They'll be able to attract players because if they don't win the Champions League this year, they're not going to be in the Champions League next year. But they will be able to, bring in players or, at least keep the players that they have and they can build off that. And that is a huge thing for Leicester City right there.
No, that's a great point. And the scheduling favors them. You know, Atletico is going to be
absolutely
coming off the Madrid derby. So, I mean, that's going to drain both those teams. So, I agree with – I like your pick there. So, I don't know.
Now,
I don't know
who to
pick
them
out. The
yeah,
way
sorry,
that it's set up,
ahead.
Though, it looks like – no, it's fine. The way that it's set up, I kind of like your pick. I don't see – I don't know. I think it's even money, but the way that the schedule, everything's set up, I think – I don't – you know, Leicester City's going to win, and I think they'll get at least an away goal. I see a 1-1 draw this week, which, I mean, that's huge for them if they can get that in the first
game. Oh, yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. And that, as you're, you know, kind of pointing out, you know, just with your pick is, either team, it would not be a shock if they took it. I mean, it would be an upset if Leicester City wins. There's no doubt it would be an upset. But it wouldn't be that big of a shock. Because the fact that they beat Sevilla and they came back 2-1 down, and the fact that Sevilla missed two penalties, I mean, it's just, you know, sometimes there's these, you know, like fairy tale things
definitely
that they just play out.
Yeah, they have they definitely have had some good luck, and I mean, it doesn't matter how good you are, you always need some luck to win these trophies.
Absolutely.
And then to wrap up the last one really quick before we get off the air, Juventus and Barcelona. You know, Pablo Iguala is probably coming back. He's probably going to be ready for the first leg, and you know, Barcelona's probably playing their best form right now. They just had a really good win against Sevilla. And something I noticed about the way that they're playing now, a little bit differently, you know, all these teams have been pressing Barcelona, and that's been kind of the reason they've lost so many games. But something I noticed, one of these Twitter handles, these people that follow and tactics and stuff, every time that Barcelona gets pressured now, they just, you know, it's nothing new that they go all the way back to the keeper. But one thing that's a little different is the way that they invite the press. They distribute then after, once they're, you know, they have at least three or four of the opposing side players in their half, and then they distribute to the wings. And I mean, Neymar has stepped up on help, and he's incredibly fast this year. And you know, going up through the wings to absorb, after absorbing the pressure, seems to create chances almost every single time for them. So Juventus, of course, is a lot more methodical team. They are an Italian team. But, you know, if they do employ that press or anything, it'll work to Barcelona's favor. I got to be honest, I have no idea who's going to win this tie. Barcelona's playing amazing, but they haven't played, in my opinion, a team as good as Juventus this season. And they haven't played a back line like that. So, you know, away goals is always are crucial. I have no idea who's going to win this first leg, but I think if you're a Barcelona fan, a scoring draw would be very positive.
Oh, yeah, well, absolutely. You know, a scoring draw, you know, because the first game is in Turin, it's absolutely a positive result. I got to be honest with you, and I know, you know, you don't want to, you know, give a prediction, even if you felt Barca was going to roll them. You know, you don't want to do that because you want to jinx them. I personally think Barca is going to roll Juventus. I like the way Barca's playing. We talked about it at the weekend, you know, when or not the weekend, yesterday, Barcelona-Sevilla. The fact that Neymar, Messi, and Suarez, the way that they're playing, they're not just shooting for shooting's sake. They are passing the ball. You know, I believe it was the second goal yesterday. Neymar was pretty much through on goal, and instead he still played the ball across to Suarez. Suarez was through on goal, and instead plays the ball back to Messi, who just calmly finishes it right into the middle of the net. I mean, that right there has to worry any team, and Juventus is not going to be any different. Sevilla is a great defensive team, and Barcelona ripped them to shreds. So I like the way Barcelona is playing. I think they're going to win. And I like the fact that you pointed out how they absorb pressure. They wait till, you know, a lot of the opposing teams in Barca's half before they distribute to the wings. That right there, you know, the reason why it's so tough on that is because the fullbacks not only have to cover the man, but then they have to cover the space behind him because Neymar, like you said, is so fast. So that's why it's going to be a lot easier for Barca, you know, to, you know, distribute to the wings. And you're going to have Messi on the other side or Suarez. I mean, it just makes that big of a difference. And the fact that, you know, Juventus plays pretty much with a back three, those wings are going to be open now. That's a really dangerous thing for Juventus. Or if the wings aren't open, that means they're going to be, you know, pretty much pinned back in their half. And if they're pinned back in their half and they're allowing Barca to dictate, you know, that's even more worrisome. So I really do. I like this matchup for Barcelona. I do think they're going to roll them, but I just hope I don't jinx Barca on that. So.
No, I agree with what you're saying. I mean, they're playing the most optimal scoring chance every time. So that's something, really, really bright right now about Barcelona. And then finally, before we end the show, we kind of had a disagreement on Zlatan. what was your point? What was your point about? Because the whole thing is, people are trying. My point of view is everyone's trying to blame Ibrahimovic for why United sucks. But I mean, I've been watching. Oh, I thought that's the point you were making. You were just saying his goal was offsides, right?
No, my point is, I was just agreeing with what the writer said. What the writer was saying is that he's 36. He needs to, and he's not signing a contract. He's kind of holding United to ransom. What the writer was saying, that might actually be a good thing because that means they're going to have to bring in two, younger world-class strikers, like a Griezmann or, Dybala, someone along that, nature. So I was kind of agreeing with that just because it's going to help them. But, Zlatan's been absolutely fantastic. Zlatan's been by far their best player. I don't think that's, there's any argument on that. I think we agree there.
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying. Yeah, no, that is smart because, they definitely need to bring someone else in. Kind of confusing that whole situation at United, having Anthony Martial and Rashford. I don't know what's going on there, but no, I agree with that. I guess the offside thing, I mean, it is offside technically. I just think that's that rule is kind of ridiculous how scrupulous it is, but I guess it depends on where you're looking at it from.
Well, and as a Liverpool supporter, I could never, ever, ever, ever give United the benefit of the doubt. So just, you need to understand that.
All right, guys. Well, there's a lot of big games this weekend. Probably biggest one is the Madrid derby. But a lot of good Premier League action, especially with the relegation race kind of getting turned on its head this week. Hull City, big win over Borough, another team that, it seems like the last spot's going to be either between Hull City or Swansea, kind of leapfrogging there. So, just a lot to watch for this weekend. And hopefully we'll catch you guys next week during midweek or something to kind of review some of the Champions League matches.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Later.